Hey guys, before we start, I just want to welcome a few guests to our friends in Yeshiva. First of all, nice to have everybody Bolton here. And, we have Mr. Zwebner, whose son Yakir went to Yeshiva. And Mr. Schwabi, who actually came to Poland with Yeshiva once. It's nice to have you guys with us. Okay, we're going to do, I think, a very interesting topic. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. And Mr. Rosen, I apologize. I extend here too. Sorry about that. He's like been here so long, I think he's just like a guy in Yeshiva. Okay, so we're going to look at the clash between Talmud Torah and other mitzvot. Which, again, I think it's an important topic that comes up. We all have different ideals we're trying to fulfill. And one tension might be how to balance the timing regarding the various ideals. So before we get to the conflict per se, I want to point out a little bit of an intriguing aspect about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's a famous mission in Peah, which appears in our Siddur, which says, Talmud Torah is one of the mitzvot she'ein lehem shiur. It has no amount. But it's an interesting comment that a couple of commentaries say, both I think in the Gra and the Tiferet Yisrael, they say, what does it mean, ein lehem shiur? Ein shiur lamata, the ein shiur lamala. What would they be getting at by saying that? Ein shiur lamata, the ein shiur lamala. How would you guys translate that? What are they trying to say? Yeah, Rami.
There's never enough Torah.
Yeah, but why? What are the two sides, though? Ein shiur lamata, ein shiur lamala. Elon Moskowitz. Excellent. So it's a funny mitzvah. In a certain sense, there's no minimum and there's no maximum. Let's just play that out. In what sense is there no minimum? What is the no minimum? Well, arguably, what do you have to do to fill the mitzvah sage? Yeah, learn something every morning and something every evening. What does the Torah say? Right? You're supposed to, arguably, if it's about Talmud Torah, b'shachlov kumecha, or a pasuk in here for Yeshua, v'gitabo, yomam, v'layla. But there's a gemara that suggests, how do I fulfill that mitzvah? Pretty easy, just by saying Shema. If I said Shema every Maariv and every Shacharit, I engaged in Talmud Torah in the morning and the evening, and I'm done. In fact, there's an amazing gemara in Menachot which says, don't tell this Talmud Torah. It's like, keep it a secret. Okay, why shouldn't you tell Talmud Torah? Yeah, good? No, the opposite. What'll happen if we teach this to Am Haaretz? He'll remain Am Haaretz because, okay, I don't have to learn anything. By davening twice a day, I have fulfilled the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So in that sense, ein shiur lamata. Right, there is no minimum. Okay, but what's the flip side, of course? We seem to have an overriding value in our tradition that you should learn Torah as much as possible. Right, and some maybe not in the right as much, but like some yeshiva cultures, there's a sense that, you know, every second you do something else is mitzvah Torah. Right, you have to justify, you're starting a settlers league for the break, right? Did that start yet, Commissioner?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. There you go. Right, the commish. Okay. So. Right. No, there can't be. I'm willing to have a settlers league. Can't have a monopoly league. You guys start a monopoly league? Guys, monopoly has no intelligence to it whatsoever. Okay. There's like no strategy. There's no thought. What? Devils has no insight. What are you talking about? Dan James, how many times have you played Devils?
I played almost every Shabbos with my family.
Okay. Okay. You think there's no strategy? What?
Minimal stuff strategy is not for a fall.
Okay. Well, I have a proof there's some strategy. Okay, because when my son started playing, at one point my record against my son was like 3-52. Right, so unless he's just much better rolling the dice, right, there's got to be some strategy involved. Okay, what? Okay, in any case, let's go back here, guys. Okay, so there's a sense that you should be learning every second. So Talmud Torah is a little bit this funny mitzvah. Right? Is it a minimum requirement? I could get by just by a little bit every morning, every evening, or really it should pervade my entire day? Okay, so let's see. With that background, let's go to Gemara Moed Katan. Okay, so the word Moed Katan is contrasting two psukim Mishlei. And a lot of Mishlei is about which value? Chachma. Wisdom is the like one of the key words of Mishlei. So what does it say about wisdom? Here we go. Hadi yatu v'kami b'ayu. K'tiv, one pasuk says, Yakarahi mipininim. Okay, wisdom is so great. What would that mean? It's yakar mipininim. Very good. It's more precious. Yeah, but pininim is not from pinimi inside. You know what pinimim might be? Did I hear someone say it? Pinimim are jewels. It is more precious than jewels. The kol chafetzeh lo yushabu ba. And all your things cannot yishavuba equal it. But we make a diak. What doesn't equal chachma? Chafat secha. Hachefze shamayim, but godly things, yishavuba. So say chachma is great, but maybe there are other spiritual things that could compete with it. Okay, next. Viktiv, what is the second pasuk in Mishlei? The kol chafat simlo yishavuba. How is that different from the first pasuk? It's not chafat secha, it is everything can't equal chachma. Dafilu cheftze shemayim lo yishavuba. Chachma, Torah, is the ultimate value. So the Gemara says there's a contradiction. Somehow Torah seems to overcome other things and yet not overcome them. Says the Gemara, kan b'mitzvah she'efshar lasot edei acherim, if others could do it, kan b'mitzvah she'efshar lasot edei acherim. So it sounds like we get a little bit of a guideline, a little bit of directive, how do we navigate our competing responsibilities? Let's say I'm learning Torah and a mitzvah opportunity comes up. Should I close my sefer and go do the mitzvah opportunity? So based on this Gemara Moed Katan, what does it sound like? What does it depend on, Joey?
Someone else can do it.
Exactly. Let us say someone calls me and says, an old lady needs help going across the street, 2 blocks down. But you know very well that there's 3 other people who are standing right there who can do it. So we would say there, no, you stay and learn, and somebody else will do the mitzvah. But if you're aware that nobody else can do it, all right, so go leave the Beit Midrash for a few minutes and take care of the mitzvah. Okay, so we seem to have a criteria. When others could do it, stay and learn. When you're the only game in town, stop learning and do the mitzvah. Yeah, keep it. Look, how to navigate it, that is a good question, but I'm going to duck it for now. Okay, everybody good with that, with the criteria? Okay, so that is an interesting criteria. But now let us ask a fundamental question. Okay, we have a halachic concept that you guys, some of you have encountered already in Ketubot, some of you may have encountered last year in Sukkah, which is called Ha'osek B'mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah. If I'm involved in one mitzvah, I'm exempt from another mitzvah. Now, normally in Shas, we don't talk about Efshar Lasot Adei Echer. We just say Osek B'mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah. So in theory, what would happen? I'm really good, okay? I'm nervous, you're not smiling. You only still might catch him. Look. Okay. I think you're in trouble.
Okay.
After many weeks, like college football, like he was ranked number one for weeks, but now he's ranked number two. Okay, so in any case, what would happen if we would plug that into Talmud Torah, guys? If we said, we always say Osik Mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah, what funny result would you get? Dan Janus? Yeah, you'd have this funny result. Like maybe some yeshiva guys would love this. You could just stay in the Beit Midrash all day, and when the time comes to sit in the Sukkah, you just say, Osek Mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. When the time comes to do Tztaka, Osek Mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. Right, now clearly that would be a little extreme, but we have to work out halakhically why that's not true. Right, we could in theory just keep plugging in Osek Mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah, and exempt the yeshiva fellow from a world of mitzvah, which we're not doing now. We're saying if nobody else could do it, you better go do it. Okay, so let's see why we don't do that. So we're going to see two very interesting svaras to why we don't. Okay, so let's contrast Rabbi Chanan Wasserman and the Meiri. Okay, so the Kovachim is an Achron, as Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. He's a good Achron to know about. He was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. If he was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, probably what is his approach to Gemara? It is probably the Brisker Derech, right? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik started the Brisker Derech. But I would say, this is especially for the guys in Rav Gavriel Shir. Okay, a lot of briskers, it's not so easy to read their svar. I know you guys once this year did a Rav Baruch Be'er, Rav Birkat Shmuel, and you once did a Rav Chaim, right? They are not easily read, because you could be a great thinker, it doesn't mean you're the clearest writer. But I would say among all the briskers, Rav Chanan is the clearest writer. So if you ever want to get an easier access to what brisker lungus is, I'd highly recommend going to Rav Chanan. Okay, so that's what Rav Chanan Wasserman says. He says in source 3, why is it that I actually close my Gemara and go do mitzvah? It's not because? Now again, he seems that it's almost like these achron, they just love Talmud Torah. Like, it can't be Talmud Torah loses. It can't be that Talmud Torah is overcome. It's not that it's pushed off. So what is going on? Ella. So what's going on? Why do I close my Gemara to go take a lulav? Or to give tzedakah, to kamosha mutter levata tamter fnei derech eretz v'kol tzarchei ha'adam hechrechim. Okay, what's his analogy? I also stopped learning too. What is tzarechei adam hehechrechiim? Yeah. If you need dinner, you go to the supermarket, right? No one says, oh, it's bittul Torah to go to the supermarket. Right? No, you need to have food in the house. Right? So that's not a negation of Talmud Torah. Let's see how he phrases it, how it works. Umishum, now he's a very interesting formulation. Techiv Talmud Torah eino chala al hadam. What's to be chal al hadam? Yeah, it doesn't take effect. Elabishah shupanui ubatel masiyat tzrachav. When does Talmud Torah take effect? When you are? Panui? Can we turn on money also, guys? What does it mean to be panui? I'm sorry? Busy, you said? It's the exact opposite. Okay, what's panui? I'm open, I'm free. Right, that's to be panui. Okay, so now, what does he want to claim? Let's keep reading. Korak tevastat v'necha, avu b'shah shu tzerech laso melachto, az eino mechuyiv klal b'talmud Torah. See, it's a very interesting formulation. Korak tevachan, how does the chiyuv Talmud Torah work? When am I chayav to learn? I'm chayav to learn if there's nothing else of crucial significance that I need to be doing right now. But that means the second there's something else of importance, I'm actually not chayav at this moment. So if I need to go to the supermarket because we don't have food in the house, at that moment I'm not chayav in Talmud Torah. If I need to sit in a sukkah, at that moment I'm not chayav in Talmud Torah. So you say Talmud Torah is kind of, as I said in the beginning, it's an amorphous chiyuv. Depends on what other crucial things I need to do in my life. When there are other crucial things I need to do, I'm not chayav in Talmud Torah. When there aren't other crucial things to do, then I am chayav in Talmud Torah. But that's why, he says, because of the unique nature of this mitzvah, one second, Ozzy, because it's kind of flexible, that's why we don't say osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Right? We would normally say osek mitzvah patur mitzvah, but the mitzvah Talmud Torah is this funny mitzvah that sometimes is in play and sometimes is not in play. Yeah, Ozzy.
I'm going to ask, what's considered important?
That's a great question. Okay, one thing for Rabbi Elchanan would be like defining what something else of significance is. Now, I have to admit, Rabbi Elchanan was a fairly Haredi hashkafa, so he would probably have a narrower sense of what another legitimate activity would be than, you know, you and I would have. Okay, that's true. He would probably not think, you know, studying art history in college is a good reason to not be living. Yeah?
In short, you person could be OSIC and something like extremely important his whole life, and never be Chayav Torah?
You're right, although maybe that would be legitimate. Right? I mean, you're assuming that's a crisis for Rabbi Elchanan. Rabbi Elchanan would say, okay. In the individual circumstance where that's true, like let's say somebody lives, I know, in an area that has natural disasters and there are always people in tremendous need for economic help and support of various kinds. It's okay, you can live a life where you're not going to learn so much and that's legitimate. Okay, we're good. Then we got the Bukhan theory down. Okay, let's go to theory two, though, because theory two is going to be more intriguing. Okay, Josh Wall, who's your barber? Can you go to Jeremy Asher? Jeremy, where do you go? Why not? You don't trust him? Okay. Well, okay. Wow. You know, Joshua, there are people who, for them, just shaking their head wouldn't be so insulting, unless they actually said it insulting. But for you to shake your head, that's insulting. Okay. Okay, here we go. Let's go to the Meiri, guys. Okay, the Meiri has a great theory. Afal pi she'amru ha'osek mitzvah patur mitzvah. He has the same question. Ein Talmud Torah b'chlalze. Talmud Torah is not included. Now, we're going to see his theory why is going to be the end of the piece. Before he gets to why, though, he does something I like very much. He kind of defines Efshar la'asot al-yedei chayav. And he has three categories when you need to do it. You might say, people really ask a good question. We're like, when is it true that somebody else could do it, somebody else can't do it? Let's see what his three categories are. Okay. So says the Meiri, El Mishai Osik B'Torah V'Ira Mitzvah Yado, a mitzvah comes by, Im Efshar la'ota mitzvah de'a chayrim, if someone else could do it, Ein lo levatela, don't stop learning. Okay, wait. Ba'al tishivei, he's asking me the following question. Bittul Torah, what did the Gemara talk about? Leaving the Beit Midrash. Lohotzat amei ulachnasat kala. What are these two cases there, guys? I am leaving the Beit Midrash for, you know, a funeral, a wedding. What's the obvious question lurking there, guys? Well, even if I don't go to the funeral, the wedding, other people are going to go. So how should we define that? So what does he say? Sha'af heim e efshar b'achirim b'ra'uila. Sha'akol tzichilim laharbot b'kavod. What's his argument there, guys? So why would I still be justified in attending? Because it's not a function of, you know, is there some like minimum standard? If there were 70 people at the funeral, that's good enough. What's the argument? When the right people come, that enhances honor for the deceased. or at a wedding, if the right people come, that makes it a more joyous event. Now, obviously, there's a limit on that. Like, if I never met the Chassan and Kala, if I'm not invited, right, presumably at that point, I don't have joy if I just show up, right? So this is not like an argument for, you know, there are yeshiva guys who like to crash weddings. In fact, one of our most illustrious alumni who got married last night was a veteran wedding crasher. Okay, but in any case, but that's not the argument over here. Okay, the argument here is, if you would enhance the wedding, or you'd add honor to the deceased, you should go. Okay, so one case of EF Shah de Kherim is, even though other people are doing it, your presence makes a difference. Yeah, Gabe?
Doesn't that tie more into a Beit Adam Chavero issue?
Okay, why is that a problem?
Because you can't quantify Beit Adam Chavero, so it's not a fair comparison to... I mean, we don't make a bracha on Beit Adam Chavero. There's not like a limit.
Yeah, but just because we don't make a bracha, that is a good point, but that doesn't mean we don't have to deal with the clash. Why doesn't Halach have to deal with Ben Amachle responsibilities versus Talmud Torah?
I'm saying it's more cautious. There's more. It seems like a deraita. Like
no, but again, but let's say that you're really not needed at the wedding, or you're not even invited to the wedding, right? So you wouldn't say you should close your learning and go to the wedding.
Let's
even do the funeral where people are not invited to funerals. Uh-huh. What if you have no connection to the deceased whatsoever? Uh-huh. And now I can conceive, even there, I can conceive of a case where I feel need to go. What if you can no connection to the deceased, but for whatever reason, there aren't going to be enough people at the funeral? No one really knew the person, they lived alone, so I might feel the need to go also. What if you know there's going to be 300 people there, and you have no connection to the deceased? So you wouldn't say Ben Al-Mukhaber overcomes Talmud Torah. Like, why should you go? It'll be very respectful, and you don't really add anything.
And I think that, again, that's a respectful aspect. I mean, you're going for some reason, which still is in Ben Al-Mukhaber.
Okay, but I'm not sure what the problem... Why is that a problem, though? I'm missing what...
I'm disagreeing with, like, the reasoning that he's comparing it within a Beit Adam L'Makom, like, paradigm that you should be doing in a Beit Adam L'Makom versus Beit Adam L'Makom.
No, but it's almost like you're saying that Beit Adam L'Makom by definition should be Beit Adam L'Makom.
Yeah.
But why should that be? What if the Beit Adam L'Makom is not really necessary?
Because isn't it, meaning if it's not necessary...
Again, the funeral where 300 people are going already and you're not really connected to the deceased in any way. Right?
Yeah, no.
Is it possible that...
Ah, interesting. We'll get there in a second. Very clever. Okay, two more categories. No Amay Moon. Excellent. Give me one second, okay, Jake? I'm sorry. Mishum Dechiv Tamatar Eino Chalad. Oh, sorry, no, that's the wrong one. Where am I? Oshu Mitzvah Hamutel Al Gufo. Kagon Lulav Veshofer Kibra Veim. Guys, what's the second category? Why is Lulav and Shofer EF Shodeh Acherim? Why is that EF Shodeh Acherim? Yeah, because it's not a mitzvah that someone in Am Yisrael has to do it. It's a mitzvah that I have to do, right? Everyone is supposed to hear shofar, so I can't outsource that. So a second category would be a mitzvah that's on the individual. And he has a third category. Here we go. The third could be obvious, I guess. Even in a Ben Amachavero case, or a case where it's not a chiyuv on me per se, but there really is nobody else. Right, again, there's nobody else to help the old lady across the street. So realize, I'll get to you in a second, Jakey. This idea of EF Shadeh Acherim really has several categories. It could be EF Shadeh Acherim because I'm literally the only person. I'm the only person who could do the tztaka, the only person who could do the chesed. It could be EF Shadeh Acherim because the mitzvah on me as an individual. I as an individual have to hear shofar. It could be EF Shadeh Acherim because my presence will add to the joy of the wedding. My presence will add to the honor of the deceased at the funeral, even if 200 people are already coming. So all those are EF Shadeh Acherim. But if you don't have any of those, then it's a shot here. Jakey Zakai. Guys, Jakey has shifted gears. He used to look like he was 23, now he's back to 15.
So what if, like, the case of, like, Shimon Peres or Rabbani Yosef, where you're not really close to them, you're not going to change or
make... Okay, that's the interesting question. Look, you could say there's something to, like, a public figure that there's a certain honor involved in everybody coming. Because I think that is a powerful story, just to mention. We were in Israel at the time when Rabbani Yosef passed away. You guys were in high school? How old were you guys? Was that good? So I think like 600,000 people attended the funeral, if I recall correctly, which is pretty remarkable because basically if you take Israeli Arabs out of the equation, I think that would mean that basically one out of every 10 Israelis in the country was at the funeral. So that's a pretty impressive thing if you think about it, to have a funeral of someone where a tenth of the country shows up. Like imagine if a tenth of America showed up to the funeral. Okay, so that is, so there I would say, you know, every person made a difference in the, you know, the public perception of that event. Okay, yeah, Daniel. I'm sorry? So look what he said, though. What was his case? Very good. You're reading carefully, Daniel. Keep reading, though. Kfur Mei Mitzvah? Yeah. What's his case there, Dafka? There isn't anybody else. Look, I think if it's misleading, even though he puts it apart in the same train of thought, that's not comparable to Lulav and Shofar, really. I would not have put them together. I would have made it a separate category. That's what's bothering you, right?
Yeah.
Put it this way, you get to the same result, but I don't think you get there the same way. Right? The reason why Shofar is EF Shadecherim is not because there aren't other people here. It's because it's a chiyuv on you. The reason why Meit Mitzvah is EF Shadecherim is because you're the only game in town. So I agree, it's not really the same category. Okay, Joe, you want to say something?
No.
Okay, we're good? Everybody got that? Okay, great. But what about the Svar? That was how you define EF Shadecherim. But what's the Svar involved here, guys? Why don't we say Osik Mitzvah Fatim Mitzvah? Now, the Mishnah says the most important line of the day. Three lines from the bottom. V'yafal pisho osik mitzvah patim ne mitzvah lo nemar kein b'talmud Torah. We don't say that in Talmud Torah. Why not? Hov ikara. What is the foundation of Talmud Torah? Liyadiyat kiyum shar mitzvot. What does he want to claim, guys? Meaning, if one of the purposes of Talmud Torah, or one of the dimensions of Talmud Torah is, I learn so that I'll do mitzvot, there'd be something funny about saying Osik mitzvah mitzvah, because I'm involved in Talmud Torah. So to rephrase it, I think it's a good phraseology, when I stop my learning to do mitzvot, in a certain sense, I'm not negating my learning. I'm enhancing my learning. Because I'm giving learning a dimension it was meant to have. A dimension of learning is a learning that inspires and instructs performance. So therefore, this is adding to Talmud Torah rather than detracting. So notice the difference here. Everybody agrees that we don't apply across the board to Talmud Torah, Osik the mitzvah, Patur min mitzvah. Everyone agrees, if no one else could do it, stop learning and go do the mitzvah. But we have very things split, it's interesting machshava-wise, as to why. If I ask Rabbi Chanan, why do I go do the mitzvah, what would Rabbi Chanan say, guys? Because once the Chiyuv Lulav is in play, again, what would Rabbi Chanan say? There's no Chiyuv Talmud Torah. There's something else important, Talmud Torah is dissipated. That's not what the Meir would say. The Meir would say there is a Chiyuv Talmud Torah. And he wouldn't say, I'm not negating it. So according to the Meir, why do I go take the lulav? Because that makes my Talmud Torah almanat lasot, and that actually adds a dimension. It enhances my Talmud Torah. This is an important idea we're going to come back to. Do you have any comments over? Any questions? Dan Shanus. The dominant force here in his Rosh Chodesh white shirt. Are you the only guy in yeshiva who did that today?
No,
Josh Hall. No, Josh Hall does every day. How do we know it's Rosh Chodesh, Josh? He's a serious guy. He's got Rosh Chodesh cufflinks going. Okay, amazing. Okay. Yeah, Rav Noam doesn't have the cufflinks, though. Josh Hall's more serious. Okay. What? Look, that's a good question. I don't think, first of all, I'd say two things. I don't think this is to be the only dimension of Talmud Torah. It could be one dimension of Talmud Torah. I would even say further, Daniel, that it doesn't be like I learned Mishnah Berurah and know what to do. What if I view Talmud Torah as an inspiring force? Right? So even if I learn like a good piece of Rav Tzadok and it doesn't tell me what to do, but now I'm inspired to be a better person, a better religious human being, right? So I would say that also is Talmud Torah that's almanat lasot. Okay? Great. All right, excellent. Okay, now let's go to some Rambams. At first, the Rambam is going to support what we've said, and then there's going to be a very surprising Rambam that many of our have tried to figure out. Okay, so let's look at the Rambam in Hilchot Talmud Torah. The Rambam talks about how great Torah is. So he says, let me see if I have time to do this. Yeah. Says the Rambam, B'shlosha k'tarim nichtu Yisrael. The Jews have three, what's a keter? Three crowns. There you go. Keter Torah, Keter Kuna, Keter Malchut. Okay, three like positions of dignity and honor and rank. What's the difference between the three of them, of course, guys? Torah, Kun, and Malchut? What is unique about Torah in that threesome? Very good. Okay, Kahuna and Malchut are not up for grabs, right? Kahuna is limited to the Aaron descendants. Malchut is limited to David and Melch descendants. But there is a great aspect of Torah that in a certain sense it's a meritocracy. Right, no matter what family you come from, right, if you are a star in Torah, you can make it. Right, now again, often people do come from prominent families, but it's well known that Rav Sadi Gon did not come from a prominent family. You could become a great person in Torah irrespective of where you came from. Okay, I'm sorry? Oh, very good. Very sluggish. Very good there. Akiva Garner, as I always say, life is not just Haraganashri. Very good. Okay, so now, okay, let us go to Halacha Dal. Okay, the end of the Rambam. So after Rambam talks about how great Talmud Torah is, he says, What if I have a clash? Our case. See, quotes are Gemara. Im efshar lemitzvah lasot ade achirin. If other people do it, lo yafsik talmudo. Don't stop learning. That's what we said. But look at his formulation on the other side. This is quite interesting. The im lav, if not, namely, there's nobody else to do the mitzvah. Yaseh mitzvah. Then what do you do? You stop learning. Do the mitzvah. But what does he throw in? The yachzor l'talmudo. And then?
Go back
and learn. Now, I admit this might be overreading, but isn't that a little bit like an overkill? If I'm like giving a smusser, make sure as soon as you stop helping the lady cross the street, like you run back to your Baba Batra. Right? You run back to your Sefer Akuzri. Right? Is that what he's doing? Like, why does he have to throw in those two words? Yeah, I mean, do you agree with the question? It might be overkill. Okay, just say, if nobody else could do it, if somebody else could do it, stay and learn. If nobody else could do it, go stop. All right, does he really need to throw in Yachzor l'talmudo? Okay, Yonatan, what do you say? Okay, interesting. Okay, very interesting idea. So Yonatan says that sometimes, like I'm in the middle of a thought, if I push it off for weeks, I'm in trouble. But if I get back to it before it's too late, I'll be able to finish. I'll remember where I was in the thought process. I'll be able to get it. Benny Klein.
Maybe it's more of an incentive for a lot of coming out of the bombing that like, they're going to like, distance themselves from doing
classes. Oh, that's clever. Very good, Benny. You're saying if he didn't say that, someone would say, I know Allah isn't supposed to do it, but I'm having such a good time in this Tosfos that I'm not leaving the base. So I'm saying, no, don't worry, you'll get back, it's okay, Tosfos is not going anywhere. Okay, I'll tell you something funny, guys. I was just, some of you know, I missed my Chumash here, unfortunately, Tuesday afternoon, because I went to parent-child learning in Otniel, where our son Sadok is learning. So Robert A. Makoeng spoke, Rabbi Kohn's base, he's giving me Talmud Chacham. So he said, he always says a couple of humorous things. So he loves, when he's learning, his lab is swarm open, and he leaves them open. Because what's his argument? I'm still in the middle of all them. Like, I don't want to close them. Like, it's true, I might have, like, put the Gemara down and I'm looking at the Rambam, but that doesn't mean I put the Gemara aside. And you know this happens to everybody? Rebbeim always have, like, students who are firmer than they are. So, you know, some people don't like the idea of leaving a safer open. So Rebbeim will, like, wander across the Beit Midrash, and somebody else will come over and close the Sfar. Right? So he complained, like, just leave them open. It's okay. There's no Isser to leave them open. Okay, so that was an interesting, intriguing thing from Rebbeim. But it's a little bit similar to what you guys are saying. Like, you know, okay, I'm still in the middle. It's true. Like, I'm now for a second doing something else, but that doesn't mean I have to close my safer. Okay, Andrew.
Do you have, like, an analogy? Sort of like, your parents come and they want to pick you up for dinner. Like, you go out for dinner with them, but keep it on the aim. So it doesn't mean you have to give the whole night safer.
Okay, there you go. Oh my God. Usually, as I said, guys, sometimes they're a baby, give them a sir. Right? Don't say anything, just tell me to give them a sir. Yeah, Danilo Sainas. Okay, it's interesting, because Benny says we're giving, like, encouragement to Talmud Chacham. You say we're giving encouragement to the Amaritz, as it were. Yeah, very interesting. Joey?
Maybe once you do the other mitzvah, you'll say you're Osek with that, and it's supposed
to
be your
country. Okay, maybe all interesting stories, guys. Akiva Garner?
Maybe the Amaritz is just like a head there for being, like, Osek with that. Once you set the tone, you're going to come back, it creates, like, a head there for telling yourself, oh, I can't do this because I'm
okay, interesting. You guys all have some very good ideas. We'll see if there's one more idea lurking here, why the Rambam throws in. Okay, with that now, guys, let us turn the page, and we'll get to the problematic Rambam. We'll see if anyone come up with a great theory. Guys, this is very famous. You can discuss this with your local Talmud Chacham. They'll be very excited that you're aware of it. Okay, J.J. Blikin, Talmud Reichman, you learned this Rambam. He'll be very excited. He'll be excited in his soft-spoken way. Okay, here we go. Let us go to the Rambam in Hilchot Ishah. Okay, the Rambam is talking now about not Talmud Torah versus other mitzvot, but more specifically Talmud Torah versus marriage. Okay, here we go. Ha'ish mitzuba al-pirviv al-o-isha, u'me'im atachav yishachav mitzvazu, mi-ben shvasre. So from 17, you're already chayv in Peruvu. So you might say, okay, let's go, guys. Time to get married. You're all over 17. V'kivin sh'avu esrim shanav lo nosa isha. If you hit 20 and you didn't get married, har is over mivat mitzvot asay. Again, I'm not going to do it right now, guys, but trust me, you're not chayv to get married tomorrow. It's okay. Okay, next. So what justifies pushing off marriage? If you're busy learning Torah, and it's kind of hard to combine Torah and marriage, like it's hard to combine medical school and marriage. Why are you nervous about getting married? Yitzrach b'mizonot? What's it going to cause? You're busy with mizonot? Support a family. Okay, what are you allowed to do? You can push it off. You know, it's not so easy to combine all these things together. You could push off marriage so that you won't be distracted and you could study. Now, what does he say now, you guys? Here's the line of the day. Sha'ozek b'mitzvah patur min ha'mitzvah. V'kol shekein b'talmud Torah. The Rambam just threw a monkey wrench in. What do you say? If you're engaged in mitzvah A, you're present to B, and certainly that would apply. So we, till now, have been thinking that Talmud Torah partakes less of Osek B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. What is the Rambam saying here? It is the super example of Osek Mitzvah, Patur Mitzvah. Now what would you say, guys? Is getting married, how would you categorize that? Is that Efshar Al Yedei Acherim or E-Efshar Al Yedei Acherim? Yeah, you cannot outsource marriage. You can't say, you know, I'm having too good a time, Matthew Plotsky, you get married for me. Right? You cannot do that. Right? So, doesn't this contradict what we said the whole shir? The whole shir has been about, if nobody else could do the mitzvah, then you have to stop learning and do the mitzvah. And we said, when there's a personal mitzvah, like lulav or shofar, that's E.F. Shadeh. Surely marriage and raising a family is a personal mitzvah. So why don't we say that you got to stop learning and go get married? So we have a very interesting contradiction here. Does anyone have a suggestion why Puruvu and starting a family would play out differently than other mitzvot? The Kamish, what do you say?
Maybe because you have the ability in this case, because in your hands you'd be able to push it off. In case like an old lady crossing the street, you can't talk about it.
Very good. So Seth says sometimes there's a time urgency and sometimes there's ability to delay. Very good. So you might say, when there's a time urgency, I got to stop learning. But when I'm able to juggle and navigate, say, oh, I'm not doing this mitzvah, I'm just postponing it, maybe there's a difference. Very good stuff. Anybody find the Rambam? What was the Rambam's phrase, guys? Har ze mutar lehitacher. He didn't say mutar not to do it. Mutar lehitacher. Very good stuff. All right. Roy Hertzfeld. Oh, very good. Okay, we'll discuss your point also. Akiva Garner.
What's the statute of limitations on pushing off marriage? Because then you could argue that if you're going to push off, like, if you're going to push off like a day.
That's a good question, Akiva. You're saying, wait, the problem with, who said the commissioner, Sfara, was maybe it's too good. What if you're 60 and you're still, you have maybe some time you draw the line.
You have to argue that pushing it off 2 years is going to cost you at one child. Cost you one child. You're being less into the mitzvah.
Okay, interesting. Al?
Maybe it has something to do with being able to return to the mitzvah. So, like,
is that a little bit like Seth's point? That it's not an urgent thing, I could do it later?
Maybe, but it's that it would be easy to return to it. Because, like, when you stop to do something, kind of like what the Rambam said in the last one, when you stop to do it to a mitzvah, you should immediately return back to do it. But when you're going to get married...
Oh, that was very clever. I'm saying you're saying something else, actually. That's extremely clever. Okay, catch what Al just said? Guys, again, you all should have gone to Sparty Adventure Camp. No, don't sing. Okay. Now, okay. What if... I never should let Al teach you that tune. Okay, so now, Al, do the people who run Sparty Adventure Camp know that the guys here sing the chant?
Not yet.
Okay. Okay. What did the Rambam say? You do the mitzvah, the yachzor l'talmudo. So Al's something very clever. Maybe when do I stop learning? When I'm going to be able, but marriage is such a significant responsibility, maybe it doesn't allow for... That's very clever. So in some ways, it's the flip side of Seth. Okay, very good. Okay, Seth, you know, it's a shame. You said a great svara, and Tevye's not even here. Okay, all right. We're going to tell him. Okay, one more point. We're going to go on to answers for Rambam. Daniel. Okay, it's a little bit similar to Rowe's point, I think, right? Yeah. All right, so let's see two achron. We see you guys really nailed it here. Okay, let us go to the COVID tarot. Not surprisingly, if the COVID shiurim is Rabbi Chanan, the COVID tarot is also. It's a different savior of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Let's see what Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says. So he asks his kasha. Look at the second line. The kasha mashakat v'rambam do'osik mitzvah mitzvah v'koshkin b'talmud Torah. D'mai koshkin u'zeh adrab b'talmud Torah goralin yonzeh. Here's the line, guys. The mitzvah pirvivu. What kind of mitzvah is pirvivu? Mitzvah she'efshar l'kayim adecherim. Nobody else could do it. The psak should be, you stop learning, you get married. Okay, look what he says here, guys. Tzarech lomer, dekava, and da'ari arama, macha l'inyan. Seth, very good. Ichur ha-mitzvah. What am I doing? I'm pushing it off. V'lo l'inyan bitula l'gamre. I'm not fully negating it. But now it's really Seth Svara. But it's a great formulation. I love this formulation. Masha efshar l'kayma de'atzma l'achar zman, havila ke'efshar l'kayma al yedei achirim. That is extremely clever. Okay, did everyone get it? In what sense, he wants to like switch the category. In a certain sense, peruvu is a mitzvah that achirim could do. In what sense, guys? Did everyone get the story he just said? No. Ah, oh, Tita Levy. Very good. Nice try, Matthew. What? Okay. Okay, interesting. Okay, Matthew Potsker. Matthew, that's a good sign or a bad sign. Okay, Matthew's trying to figure out how to get married and have no domestic responsibility whatsoever. Okay. Okay. So, Matthew, do your parents listen to Shikali?
No.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so, okay, here we go, guys. Akiva Levi hit the svara. In a certain sense, it is Efshah de Acherim, but it's very clever. Who's the Acherim? Acherim is you 3 years from now. Right? There's you today, and there's you 3 years from now. So that's also like there's a somebody out there who could get this done. Right? So, okay, I'm not doing now. Who's going to do it? Whoever me is in 3 years. So that's a very interesting formulation. It's ultimately, it's Seth's svara, that there's a difference between negating a mitzvah and pushing off a mitzvah. But I thought it was a clever way to say it. No, if somebody else could do it. So normally that means somebody else could help the old lady across the street. But maybe somebody else is me in a couple of years from now. That's also somebody else. That's his formulation for why Peruvu is different. One second, guys. Let's now just go to the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer was a posek in Israel in the 20th century. Remember, Eliezer Waldenberg. He had a lot of stuff on medical ethics and having a state and how halacha plays out. So look what he says. He has a different distinction, which I think is what Roe and Daniel were trying to say. Look at the Tzitz Eliezer. Venirli liyashev divi ram, I could solve the Rambam. Velomar da Rambam sphirle. When do I stop learning? Hainu dafka b'mitzvah pratiot. Mitzvah pratiot? What would that mean, guys? A mitzvah private, individualized. Shekol echad v'echad b'chiyav l'atzmo b'shul atzmo. What is one kind of mitzvah in this world? Everybody's got a mitzvah, but it's not like a communal performance. We all should go take a lulav on Sukkot. But my take a lulav is not part of some like communal endeavor, as it were. Okay, what's not like that? Okay, if you could please skip down to three lines from the end. Avol mash'ein kein b'mitzvah klolit v'hekefit. What would be mitzvah klolit v'hekefit? A mitzvah that's much more? Yeah, exactly. Like shir kloli. Okay, what makes it shir kloli? It's everyone's in it together. Okay, we're all in it together here. Okay, what is a mitzvah like that? Kepiria rivya. So I think this is very fascinating. It is true, I think Roe and Daniel, I think we're heading this direction, right? It is true that we all have individual chiyuv peruvu. But what's one way of thinking peruvu as a mitzvah? It is so that to ensure the continuity of Am Yisrael. Right, I think that's true in a way that lulav is not. You wouldn't view lulav as having this grand communal element. It is essentially an individualized mitzvah. But peruvu, despite the fact we're all chayav, it's easy to think of it as mostly taking place on a communal plane. But how can it be that we've had this important tradition going on for years and Am Yisrael is just going to just stop? Right? And we got to continue our people. Okay, wait. Once that's true, says the Tzitz Eliezer, Mishum Tikkun Olam V'Yeshuvu, B'chol Kazot, Shapirin, Gamatan, Os Mitzvah, Mitzvah, V'Eim of Sikkun Tonel Kim Mitzvot, She'efshar She'tas Al Yedei Acherim. Once again, what can one argue if the Tzitz Eliezer is right? In a certain sense, this mitzvah can be done by others. In what sense can this mitzvah count with the others? If I don't focus on the individual element of the obligation, but I focus on the communal concern, what would emerge? You know what? Even if I don't get married right now, Am Yisrael is going to go on. Thank God, enough people are getting married, enough people are having children, right? That goal, that value is being realized. This is going to be some important things. I think it's very interesting. According to both approaches, in a certain sense, marriage and peruvu is efshar al yedei acherim. But in a totally different way. Again, if I asked Rabbi Chanan, why is marriage efshar de acherim? What would Rabbi Chanan say? Because I will do it 3 years from now. That's the acherim who render it possible. But if I asked the Tzitz Eliezer, why is it efshar de acherim? What would he say? Well, since there's a communal value lurking here about maintaining the continuity of Am Yisrael, therefore I could evaluate it on a communal plane. And on that plane, it is Efshar Adekir. Okay, so before we move on, we now have done a great job, A, of explaining why Talmud Torah is unique. We have the Bochanan theory and the Meiri theory. We've also explained why Pru Revu will play out differently, again, with the Rabbi Chanan theory and with the Tzitzel Yeser theory. Okay, Yonatan.
Isn't there like a practical problem with that, though, and maybe a lot of Tanya people just...
Very good. Okay, so Yonatan is a very good question, which is, it's the classic Musar question, right? If other people could do it, but we're always afraid once you give one person exemption, right, if too many people take that, right? The oldest problem of societal engineering in the book. Right, say that you don't have to worry about it because other people are going to take care of it, but once everybody makes that decision, it doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? It's a legitimate question. Yeah, Daniel.
Is there any other reason for this, like, phrase the way Peru is? Like, phrase,
No, we're asking a different question. We are saying, is it, well, not a different question, but here, there's a little bit of ambiguity here. Is it a demand or a blessing? Is it a chiv or a bracha? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying...
Because that does come up in Mefarshim. Like, every time it says Peru, is God blessing what's going to happen? Or is he commanding? Oh, let's try this for a second, guys. We could actually bring in Ksuvas. We always love bringing Ksuvas into Shir Kali. Guys, tell me. Guys, get this down. It's going to be on the final. Okay, make go, wake up here. There's more exciting than what's there. Okay, here we go. What? Okay. What? Give me a Pruvu in the Torah that it's clearly not a command, but is a blessing. What? About who's, yeah, which is directed to? Excellent, Zach Wolf, terrific. Okay, guys, even if you guys love fish, I'm going to posit notes in some of this. Fish are not capable of divine commands, right? They don't get mitzvot to fish. Okay, in fact, even as animals go, fish are not highly intelligent. Okay, so let's assume fish have no commands. So why are fish told Peruvu? Because it's not a directive, it's a blessing. It is a bracha and not a chiyuv. So you could raise that question, even when human beings are told Peruvu, one could raise that question, wait, when is the pasuk demanding something? When is the pasuk just giving a bracha? It's said in the third person. So the truth is, it's not the only mitzvah like that, but I don't get distracted right now. Ask me later. Yeah, Andrew. Exactly. That's the idea of bracha l'dagim. Correct. All right, anybody else with a question? We're good? Okay, let us now get to the last part of Shir, guys. Let's go to source 9. We're doing a good job here. We'll get to the last two ideas. Okay, this is actually very, very beautiful Gemara. Okay, and you guys are going to find this something exciting. Okay, we all know a good yeshivish phrase called Yashir Koach, right? Okay, but people kind of mangle the usual phrase. You know what the initial phrase is, actually? Yi Yasher? Oh, Josh, what was you?
Is it like
Kochacha? Yes, very good. Yasher Kochacha. Okay, guys, Joshua is a serious guy in multiple ways. Okay, he understands Hebrew and he wears kufflinks in Rosh Chodesh. Okay, he is a man. Okay, What? And he knows about, it's true, he knows about Roger Maris and asterisks. Okay, which is really remarkable. Okay, that's actually the most remarkable thing that happened in Yeshiva all year. Okay, so let's see where this phrase comes from. Yasher Kochacha. Okay, so it says in the pasuk, what does God say to Moshe? He mentions luchot asher shibarta. Those luchot you broke, what do you do with them? Samtem baron. You've heard this idea before, guys? The shards, the broken shards of the first luchot, were in the Aron Kodesh. Next. Tani Rav Yosef, melamed shahaluchot v'shivrei luchot munachin baron. What was in the Aron? Both the full set of luchot, the second one, and the broken pieces. Now, guys, this is very beautiful. Look at this. Mikan with Talmud Chacham Sheshachach Talmudo Machmad Oso. What happens sometimes in life, guys? You have a Talmud Chacham, but over the course of his years, he forgets his learning. Right, we know today people, thank God, live much longer than they used to. But often old age comes with difficulties. Unfortunately, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia and Parkinson's and the like. You might have a Talmud Chacham who forgets his learning. What should you be careful about? Ein nohegen bo minag bizayon. What should you be very careful about? Do not minhag bizayon, treat him in a degrading way. What does that have to do with the luchot? Guys, think about the beautiful use of imagery here. Who is this Talmud Chacham being compared to? He is like the isn't that a powerful idea, powerful imagery? He's the broken luchot. Right, you have luchot that are still whole. That's the Talmud Chacham who still remembers his learning. You have broken luchot. He's the Talmud Chacham who, unfortunately, due to age or illness, doesn't remember. But what do we derive from the fact that the broken luchot are still in the Aron? That broken luchot also are worthy of respect. That's a very, very beautiful idea. Okay, if you ever read, you know, the Rashi, one of the Rashi of Mali Gumin, who's a man named Rabbi Chaim Sabato, What an unusual thing about him is he writes novels in his spare time. Not so many Rosh Hashiva write novels in their spare time. In fact, I can't think of a single other one right now. Okay, but he has a beautiful novel called Emet Meretz Titzmach about the Chalabi community. Jake Zaka, you have to read this. It's about the Syrian community and the Egyptian when they came to Israel. Okay, and he, I know he's not smart, you know what I guess. Okay, but he would just love it. There's a chapter called Luchot V'Shivei Luchot Munachon Baron about a Talmud Chacham who comes to Israel and no one recognizes who he is. It's a very, very beautiful chapter. Yeah?
Can you expand that and say that since every single person learned the Torah and the Mubum and then forgot it, that we should not...
All right, not bad. Pretty clever. Very good, Matthew. Okay, put that in your parish on Menachot. Okay, excellent. So that's the first part. Next. I'm Reish Lakish. Now Reish Lakish has a line that Rav Huttner loved. Here's the line. Pa'amim, sometimes... Shebitula shel Torah. When I negate Torah, zeh yisoda. What am I actually doing? My negation is actually a deepening, a foundation of Torah. Okay, what does that do with our topic? Tichtiv asher shibarta. Here's the line, Joshua. Amalek Hashbaruk Lemoshe yasher kolchacha sheshibarta. So we get this very beautiful gemara. We get two nice ideas from this gemara. One, the imagery of the Talmid Chacham who forgot his learning, being the shivrei luchot in the aron. What's the second imagery? Where do you see that sometimes the negating of Torah is a furthering of Torah? Moshe, as it were, furthered Torah by doing what? Well, what did God say right here? Yeasher kofecha sheshibarta. So how did he further learning? How did he further Torah? By breaking the luchot. Because sometimes breaking luchot creates a positive energy. Right? That's what was needed. So Moshe gets the first yasher koach in history for breaking the luchot, which again is a model for... Bitula Zayusada. Everyone's so good so far? Sometimes the negation of Torah is actually a furthering of Torah. Okay, now if we brought it back to our topic, guys. So whose idea that we've said so far would agree with that idea? If you wanted to know that is a catchphrase, that Bitula Zayusada. Sometimes negating the Torah is actually a furthering of Torah. Who said a svara that was along those lines? Ah, exactly right, Andrew Wolf. What did Eri say? When I stop learning, how should I view it? Not that I am negating my Talmud Torah, but I am adding a dimension to my Talmud Torah. Which would fit this, that the Bitula is actually not a Bitul. It is a furthering. It is a founding. Okay, now I'm not going to do it in seconds and run out of time. You should realize Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner loved this idea. It is all over his Pacha Yitzchak. Okay, so if you look at source 11, it would be one example, but he does it again and again. He loves it that bitula zehu kiyuma. My negation is not a negation. My negation is a furthering. But I'm going to just go to one last source, guys, and then we'll summarize this year, which could plug this in. Okay, let's go to a famous Tosfot in Brachot in source 12. Okay, this is a very interesting Tosfot. Okay, in the morning we get up. Actually, let's talk about sukkah for a second, guys. Let's do sukkah. Okay, let us say we're having a great sukkah at, whose parents came to the hotel here for sukkahs? Okay, which hotel are you at? Okay, there you go. Okay, so the Bergman family is at the Inbal for Sukkot, and I hope it's okay if I say this, Yonah, and they are definitely eating their money's worth. Okay, they're having a grand old time there. So they go to the hotel breakfast, and Yonah has to sheepishly go to the buffet for the fourth time and hope nobody notices. Okay, is that what happened?
No shame, no shame.
Okay, were you trying to be celibate or no subtlety?
No subtlety.
Okay, there you go. Okay. How many times did Yakira go? Okay, so in any case, so there he is, have a great time. What?
Bird.
Okay, so what does he make when he starts before he gets into all his pancakes and croissants and the like? He made a leishei basukah, right? Very significant meal. He makes a leishei basukah. Great. Then the Bergman family goes out and does their thing. Okay, since they ate so much for breakfast, let's say they didn't even eat lunch. Okay, now they're back for dinner. Okay, he's excited to try five different kinds of meats, okay, and duck. Very exciting. Okay, so now, what does he do once again? He makes the Leishei Basukah, right? Every meal will demand a new Leishei Basukah. Okay, great. Well, let's contrast that for a second. You know, Bergman's a serious guy. He gets up this morning. He made a Birkat HaTorah. Okay, now, right after I finish your Kole and Mincha, he's going to go out to lunch. But when he comes back in the afternoon, what's he not going to do? Make a new Birkat HaTorah. So I don't know if you ever thought about this, but wait, that's pretty inconsistent. How come when you break off from Sukkah, and then you come back, you make a new bracha, but Birkat HaTorah doesn't work that way. Right? He went to the school. He went and read a book. He went and took a nap, and he comes back and does not make a new Birkat HaTorah. Yeah.
Just goes to the last day of Torah, and every single thing you do, in a sense, is Talmud Torah.
Oh, good. Sage, would you say the same thing? Okay.
I thought if you had for more than 30 minutes, you have to make it again.
Nope, ooh, not true. Okay, there are Rishonim who think that Edison, but that is not the way we pass it. So let's go to a famous Tosfot in Brachot. Okay, this is a beautiful Tosfot. Okay, Ari Best, you okay over there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Ari, Jacob's going to be okay. You don't have to make a comment that we should call you. It's okay. Jacob, if you're listening, your brother's a good man. Okay, let's go to Tosfot. Okay? Last source day. Avo birkat asher bacha banu birkat lasak b'divrei Torah. Shein ikra l'birkat Torah. Koteret kol hayom. What do those brachot do? They take her the whole day. Now this is a killer question. V'yim tomer ma'ishna mi'sukah. Shetzarech l'varech al kol suda v'suda l'eshe b'sukah. In Sukkah, we don't say that every meal requires its own bracha. V'yesh lomer d'shani Torah. Torah is different. She'eino mi'yayish da'ato. Now, Tosfos doesn't fully spell it out. Let's just focus on the line. What's the basic argument? Yoshev kol yom v'lo hefsek. How can we view what you're doing? And somehow, when it comes to Torah, you never really stop. Now, what does that mean? Like, it doesn't seem very reasonable. What do you mean? If I was playing basketball, I was not thinking about the Rashba. Right? If I was reading, you know, Malcolm Gladwell, I wasn't thinking about the Kuzari. So what? Yeah, Ari.
I think it's like giving you sustenance. You're eating, it's giving you sustenance.
Okay, great. So I think it fits in what we've been saying till now, that you could view the breaks from Talmud Torah as not so much a negation of Torah, but as the furthering of Torah. I'm taking my Torah values and my Torah details, and I'm going and realizing them out in the world. And even when I play basketball, right? When I play basketball, and as we spoke about, we play in a way that's befitting of a ben Torah, right? I don't curse when I miss a shot. I don't yell at my teammates. I'm not a lazy player on defense, right? I'm a good team player. I encourage people, right? As a person, I see your dad is thinking about your sports etiquette here. Okay. I don't know if that's positive or negative. Okay. Were you on Flappish's team?
I was.
Okay. Wow, okay. Excellent. Okay, so at that point, it is still... Now, you wouldn't say that about Sukkah. Like, if I stopped Sukkah and go play basketball, there's no connection between my Sukkah dwelling and my basketball playing. But if Talmud Torah is about a life of applying Torah values, right, so obviously that would apply to the whole continuity. Okay, I'm going to do my review in 1 second. Just Daniel Shainis.
Wouldn't this supposed to be like easier if that was the case, though? Like, you should either be complaining about only playing basketball or not playing basketball?
Okay, Daniel Shainis, you are such a fanatic. Okay, just get a good rule for life. If you take a halachic position that seems totally unmanageable, it's probably wrong. Okay. It can't be that every time I go up for a jump shot, I have to be thinking, this is going to help me win the Tosfot. It just can't be. It's inconceivable. And it's also inconceivable that it's us to play basketball for a lifetime. Okay? So, Dan, anytime you come to an unimaginable conclusion, here's my opinion, it's probably wrong. What? Yeah, guess what? They're wrong. Okay? Okay. But Dan Shainis, everything in life comes at a cost. Okay, if you tell people that they can't play sports or engage in any kind of recreation, that comes at a tremendous cost also. Okay, we can discuss more some other time what the cost is, but don't think it's a safe choice. Okay? Okay, so just to sum up for 1 second. Okay, we had a question. How come I interrupt my Talmud Torah to do other mitzvah? Why don't we say Osik mitzvah for the mitzvah, guys? But so, 6 ideas, we'll view the entire shiur. Okay, if I ask Rabbi Chanan, what did Rabbi Chanan say? Why do we say Osik B'Talmud Torah Pater Mitzvah? What did Rabbi Chanan say once again, guys? Whenever there's something else I have to do, then I'm not Chayav in Talmud Torah. Okay, next, if I ask Ben Iri, what did Ben Iri say? I'm not interrupting my Torah, I am enhancing it. Yet the Rambam says when it comes to marriage, I can push off marriage. But that seems to fly in the face of what we just said, because nobody else could get married for you. So why doesn't marriage interrupt Talmud Torah? Again, what did Bochanan say, guys? Somebody else could do it. Who's somebody else? Yes. My future self, right? As the commissioner said. Okay, or what did Tzitz Eliezer say? This is a communal concern, and therefore, somebody else could do it. Do it. You want to have an interesting question about that. Okay, finally, we saw the idea in Menachot that sometimes negating something is a furthering of it. What was the example in Menachot? What was the original example there? Breaking the lucho could actually be a furthering of the world of Torah. And finally, we applied the Meiri's idea to the Tosfot, in which Tosfot would say, you know what? When I stop sitting in my sukkah, I really stopped. It has nothing to do with lunch, with basketball, the like. But when I stop learning Torah and do all those other things, my Talmud Torah does carry over, right? The values and the applications do carry over, and therefore I only make Birkat Torah once a day. So that should be, you know, our goal in Yeshiva here, guys. We should love our learning, but also the learning should spill over and impact on everything we do, how we lunch, how we talk to our friends, and how we are in the basketball court. All right, everybody have a great job. Thank you, Jerry.